Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
You can stay wherever you are. We're just going to quickly look at a thought that the Lord's been putting on my heart for a few days. Thank you, worship team. You guys are awesome. Man, I love my church. I love Pneuma Church. What is a church? It's not building. It's not a place. It's not a platform. It's not chairs. It's not a ceiling. It's not chandeliers. It's not any of that. It's a collective group of people who are hungry and pursuing one particular thing. And that one particular thing here at Pneuma Church happens to be the presence of the Almighty God. I love that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. I love the book of Acts. Anytime you feel depressed, just read the book of Acts. You feel like you can conquer Mount Everest or any other mountain. Acts chapter 16, let's read from verse 25 onwards. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. I want to speak to you and commit to you a subject. We as a church are going from prison to praise. Each one gathered here in this meeting right now is going from a prison-like scenario to praise. 2 years after the Chicago fire, Great Chicago Fire, Horatio Spafford, a well-known Presbyterian minister, a lawyer and a businessman, he decided that after 2 years of chaos that had almost wiped out every penny in his bank and almost cost him his fortune and everything else, he decided it was time to go for a well-deserved holiday with his family. So they decided to go over to England. And part of that trip was also to support one of their friends, well-known minister by the name D.L. Moody. You might have heard his story. But due to a last-minute engagement, Mr. Spafford sent his wife Anna and their kids to go first ahead of him. And so they got on this ship and they were heading to Wales. And on the way, on the 22nd of November 1873, The ship that they were traveling in, the Ville du Havre, was struck by another ship and sank. Only his wife, Anna, survived that. When she got to safety in Wales, she sent him a telegraph. Back in the day, there was in social media. So it took him a few days to find out that everyone was lost except for his wife. She sent him a telegraph that said two words, saved, alone. So he decided to jump into the next ship that is heading over to England. And while he was on that ship and then he was heading there, the captain of this ship pointed out to the very area where the previous ship, where his family were traveling and had sunk. And overcome with a range of emotions, a contradicting range of emotions, he penned these words sitting in that ship. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And as I prepared this sermon, I thought of that story because every single person gathered here as a believer, even if you've been a believer for only 5 minutes, you've experienced the contradiction of Christian life. On one end, there is the promises aplenty of what God has promised over you, yet you feel like you're living in a drought. On one end, God has promised healing over your body, yet you're still continuing to contend for healing and still battling that illness. On one end, the Lord has promised you abundance of fruitfulness of ministry and life, and yet you somehow feel like you're stuck in a holding pattern. On one end, there is prophecy after prophecy over a beautiful church, yet it looks like that year is cataclysmic. Has anyone been there before? Or am I the only person? Have you been there? Are you there right now? Most of us are in a contradiction. And speaking of contradictions, this chapter, Acts chapter 16, is almost like a thriller of contradictions. Because earlier it starts with the man from Macedonia inviting Paul to come over to this region to preach the gospel. They go to that region and they have amazing signs and wonders break out. A demonic spirit is cast out and all hell breaks loose. And these mob inflicts upon them mob justice. They tear their garments, beat them with iron rods, beat them to a pulp, and then throw them in a prison and make a mockery of them. How's that for contradiction? I thought the Lord was on this mission trip. And yet the events of this chapter remind every single person here, you, me, everyone included, that if we have God on our side, every prison becomes a palace of praise. Every prison, there is an opportunity for it to be turned into a palace of praise. So I want to commit to you a couple of things that we need to observe. Even as a church, we could all write a book called 2024. Because the year 2024 has been a massive seesaw kind of an effect. You know, 1 minute's here, the next minute's there, your family, your work, your finances, the interest rates are going up through the roof, and then, you know, there seems to be some good news, and then there's this. Have you been there? How do we navigate as believers environments that look like they're restrictive, environments that look like they're damp and that chain us and that lock us and block us and keep us in a tightly guarded space? How can we as a church bust out of that place? I'm glad that you asked. Well, the first thing that I want to commit to you is prayer turns the darkest hour into the finest hour. Because in verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Isn't that amazing? At midnight, at the worst possible time, when there is no diplomatic support, there is no helpline, there is no 1-800 blue line or whatever, at that particular point, they had summoned a prayer out of their lips. In the worst possible hour, in the worst possible place, they summoned in their spirit, they summoned the movement of their lips to summon a prayer out of their hearts. One too many times we find ourselves, we're waiting for all the stars to align and all the opportunities to align and some pastor in church to invite us to a prayer meeting. Can I encourage you? We have a culture here at Pneuma Church. Is prayer our first response or our last resort? It's a kingdom culture value. We give it a lot of priority here at Pneuma Church. And I've heard feedback from a lot of people, man, you guys pray a lot. We begin the before the service, we have prayer. Then in the middle of the worship, we have prayer. Then after the worship, we have prayer. Then before the word, we have prayer. Then in the middle of the word, we have prayer. After the word, we have prayer. And then we have prayer before communion, after communion, prayer before offering, after offering. Like, this is like the yellow pages of prayer. But I love that. And it's not just for the select few. As a culture, we as a church have fully embraced it. And if we want to break out any restrictive environment, any prison that tries to bind us together, the first key is prayer. Let us be a people in the city of Melbourne that do not go on Twitter to complain, but rather lift up our voices in prayer. Everything good happens after prayer. Prayer is the supply line of the army of God. So I want to commit to you a few examples that you see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament who took up their environment of restriction in prayer. For example, you have a thief and a refugee named Jacob who in a moment of prayer had a vision and had an encounter with the Lord. And then he went on to become a true recipient of the promises of God, a carrier of the promises of God. In prayer, you have an old leader, a fine leader named Moses, who interceded on behalf of his people and turned away the wrath of God into a blessing and covenant with that people. In prayer, you have a barren woman named Hannah, who initially started praying and even was misunderstood for the way she prayed because she looked like a woman who had a little bit of a happy hour. But in prayer, she had not only received a promise for herself, but received a promise for her nation. We have the example of Elijah, who in prayer had turned years of drought and years of famine into an amazing moment where there was national revival in 24 hours. You have Elisha, who prayed and asked the Lord to open the eyes of the servant. In that one moment, that young man saw an army of fire encamping around them. You have Daniel who prayed and the mouth of the lions were shut up. And in prayer, he outlasted every empire and emperor who wanted to conquer his faith and his belief in God. How about that? And it's not just for these heroes that you find in the Old Testament. The greatest hero of prayer in the New Testament is Jesus himself. Even before he selected his Marvel's Avengers team of 12, in Luke chapter 6, he selected the disciples after a night spent in prayer. In Matthew 14, Jesus took the lunchbox of a little boy and turned it into a feast for 5,000 people. In Luke chapter 22, in what seemed to be the worst and the most excruciating dark hour of his life, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he pushed through that in prayer. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. The finest hour of Jesus. Why am I saying this to you? I believe Pneuma Church is being invited by the Lord to a greater hour of prayer. It is possible, like for those of you who work out, who are gym junkies, who live in the gym, I disqualify myself from that. The only gym I know is Jim's Mowing. For those of you who work out in the gym, you know, if you take a 5 kilo dumbbell and you keep working out, at some point you'll reach a plateau where that doesn't have any more effect on your muscle buildup. You will have to up the weights. Am I correct? Yep. Prayers like that. If you spend 15 minutes in prayer for the rest of your life, I think you can do better. I think there is an invitation here, not just to see our Sunday services saturated in prayer. I think the Lord is here to meet with each one of us on Monday morning, on Tuesday morning, on Wednesday morning, on Thursday, Friday. I believe if we begin to pray and take it to a new level, if we take it to a new level, this city will go to a new level. If we begin to increase the temperature, increase the dial of prayer in our life, I am more than confident that it will not be written the same about the city of Melbourne. The city of Melbourne will begin to experience some unusual coincidences. I believe that if this church commits itself to a higher degree of prayer, then we will have a higher level of breakthrough. And I'm telling you, I don't want to do 2025 like I did 2024. I want us to be a group of people that say, Lord, we're going to commit more time in prayer. And prayer is not a shopping list. Lord, bless me. Lord, give me a husband. Lord, give me a wife. That's awesome. You can, because He's a loving Heavenly Father. I think everybody should get married. The single people here, particularly at the 4 p.m., this is your opportunity. Watch and pray. You can pray for those things. But can I encourage you? The spirit man. All the single people in the front row just giving me looks. Pastor Cherie, I'm not looking at you. What an amazing woman of God. But what I'm here to say is God is waiting. And I believe Pastor Raph has preached about this earlier in the year. God is waiting to look for a partner here on earth who will contend for the things that are on His heart. And when He finds such a group of people, He invades that space. And that space becomes a holy ground. That place becomes a special place. That place becomes a place known and marked as a place where God visited. We do not have a 99-year legacy because we had amazing leaders for 99 years. We have an amazing 99-year legacy because men and women contended in prayer for the things that are on God's heart. And so it is awesome that we can pray that we would be in much fruitfulness into our 100th year and beyond. But it takes men and women here to say, you know what, I make a resolve today. I resolve tonight that I will make my life a tabernacle of prayer. And when we do that, prison walls are shaken. The foundations of certain prisons are being shaken. Second thing that I want to commit to you, while you engage in prayer, your praise breaks the backbone of the prison. Because verse 26 says, suddenly, I love the word, whenever the Bible uses the word, suddenly, it somehow means, the Greek says suddenly, it just means like all of a sudden. Very complex. I leave such heavy matters to Dr. Ali. I'm a simpleton. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. I believe that it was not something like a 2.5 or 3.5 on a Richter scale. It was powerful enough to uproot that very prison. That system that had held the men of God prisoners was shaken from its very foundation. But the breakthrough was not just for them. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. You see, Paul and Silas had their feet locked up in stocks. And when every bit of movement in their body was restricted, they summoned hymns through the movement of their lips. I love we are a church that loves singing songs, praising and adoring Jesus. I've had people who've given me feedback here, people who visited from other places in the country and other places in the city and said, don't you guys get hungry after like 1.5 hours of worship? I said, well, just bring a snack bag. You know, word of advice, if you're looking to make Pneuma Church your home, just come with a small picnic basket or a bag. You need to have mints, you need to have hand sanitizer, you need to have a box of tissue, you need to have some snack bars and something to hydrate you. Just letting you know. That's how it works. Like every single person who's lived through the lockdowns of the last few years, through COVID-19 here in the city of Melbourne, I have a few experiences that it made it look like, man, I am in lockdown. I am in a prison environment. And I felt very depressed. I felt like dark clouds had just moved into my living room. And I had all kinds of weird imaginations. Like, how would it be to... Pastor Raph has received a couple of these innovative ideas that I had during the lockdowns, which shall not be mentioned from this platform. But I had a few ideas like, could it be possible to lease or rent a yacht from here and just go to somewhere else? Or dig a hole from here to, you know, I don't know, Indonesia or somewhere. Every idea looked appealing. And because you were in that moment of desperation. And I remember this one afternoon, I was really depressed. I felt like there is no hope. Because I had put all my hopes on some data that showed that this graph was going down and it's going to be awesome. And then our freedom lay at the end of that graph. No, it didn't. And on that really dark afternoon, I heard in my backyard this sound rising up, this song rising up that said, you turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways because you're the only one who can. And it was my neighbor and friend, Zoe, who was belting out this song for 3.5 hours on repeat. And I felt like as she sang, I found my voice. I felt like my head had cleared up. I felt like the darkness that was looming in that house had just lifted off. I did not text her or ask her to pray for me. But because she had made a moment, a holy moment, she decided, I too am locked in, but in this little backyard, I'm going to lift up a praise. And as she began to lift up a praise, chains in the neighborhood came undone. And this is why I want to commit to you as a church that your praise not just has the power to change your living room, your praise has the power to change your neighborhood. Your praise has the power to change your streets. Your praise has the power to change your office environment. Your praise, if you're teachers here, if you are doctors here, your workplace would become a platform where the power of the Holy Spirit moves upon, you know, people you're ministering to, because your praise has made a platform upon which the King of Glory can enter in. I experienced that on my own. And I remembered the power of that praise. And so I made it a point that the rest of the lockdowns, I would just, whenever I felt dark, I would just put on loud music and just sit there with my eyes closed. And I could see butterflies and rainbows once again. I remember moments that have been pretty powerful in prayer and praise. I remember there was this one Zoom meeting we had that Pastor Jeremiah Solomon was leading. It was a powerful meeting. It was at 6 a.m. It was such an unrighteous hour during the lockdown. And he was leading this powerful prayer. It felt like heaven could actually open up right now, just like Elijah, and fire could come down. But unfortunately, one of the beloved sisters on that Zoom chat, Zoom meeting, forgot to mute her chat when she went to the toilet. We did not hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It was something else. We heard water. We heard a waterfall. We heard flushing. And Pastor Jeremiah resorted to praying louder and louder. Unfortunately, of the 60-odd people who had joined on that meeting, none of them had the admin password. So nobody could mute this. Such fun moments. But I remember I left that meeting with so much more joy than a sermon I ever had. True story. When you contend for something with all of your heart, you begin to change the atmosphere in someone else's life. I want you to believe that. I don't want you to go home tonight without believing that. When you contend for something, when you believe about something that the Lord is commissioning you to do, it's not just for you, it's not just for your family, it's not just for your wives and your children and your husbands, it is for the neighborhood, it is for your city, it is for your nation. And I want to commit to us this one thing. It would be a very lackluster stewardship If we take that precious, life-changing, earth-shaking, nation-moving power of the Holy Spirit that is entrusted to us, and we just use it for just praying for our own needs or praising for our own needs and just shut it away. I love our worship team. This whole year, they've been stretching and leaning in more into the arms of Jesus. It's not because they're all happy and they drink another bottle of water, another brand of water. They are going through the same year we're all going through, but it is costly perfume. It is a costly worship. And their heart and their intercession and their belief in God has become a breakthrough for all of us. And so I want us to take the example of these men and women, and I want us to cultivate it in our own lives, in our own backyards, in our own homes. We live in an era where we have access to every podcast, every YouTube music. If you can't sing, well, at least play the sound of someone else singing. You know what I'm saying? But create a culture of worship in your home. Your kids will be so much more better than that. Instead of just rushing and scrambling outside your house daily, like it's like this massive controlled chaos. Spend some time soaking in the presence of the Lord. See how your day spans out to be. Whenever you have a problem, whenever you feel like you're in a prison-like environment, pause and give thanks to the Lord. The Christian's ability to praise is not determined by his or her circumstances, but in celebrating the unending goodness of God. Psalm 34, David writes, I will bless the Lord sometimes. Now he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You want to know when he wrote that? Has anyone wondered where he wrote that? He's writing this after he pretended to be a loony in the presence of Abimelech. You know that story? He was foaming in the mouth and pretending like he was crazy. And that king said, listen, dude, I have no shortage of crazy people in my kingdom. Get this guy out of here. It's after that this man is writing, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. How's that for circumstance, Pneuma Church? You don't have to have it all figured out and be like neat and dressed to the nines to have praise on your tongue. You could actually be going crazy and still praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, it's praise that brought down the walls of Jericho. It's praise. It's not the rockets. It's praise that brought down the walls of Jericho. You know why? Because the people erupted in a praise and celebrated God's ultimate strength over brick and mortar that withheld them from the promises of God. In Acts chapter 16, we read that Paul and Silas, they weren't just singing nice songs to pass away time, but their songs were a declaration of God's sovereignty over their circumstances. And this is what praise does. I love how we switched gears in the middle of this service. No one looked at the clock and said, yep, it is approximately 5:45. We've had a good 1 hour, 45 minutes of praising the Lord. Now let's get to the word. No one thought about that. Everyone said, the king is in the room. Dr. Ali said, the shout of the king is amongst us. Let's go. And I love how we as a church have cultivated an environment where we pressed in. You have no idea the breakthrough that comes out of that. You're going to find out in weeks to come. People are going to come and testify. That moment was it. That was the defining moment. And here's what I find interesting. Their praise was not confined to their freedom. Their praise brought freedom to others. When Paul and Silas worshiped, every prisoner paid attention. And when the earthquake happened, every chain came undone. I believe I'm here on mission to say this to you. Your witness to Christ is not only when the good times roll, but your lives are sermons on play when you go through the rough patches of life. I heard the stories and testimonies that came out of Kenya Pastor Kane and Alicia, they came and shared a few testimonies from our church partners in Kenya. And I heard those stories and I was like, I think I need to get saved once again. Because the stories were so compelling. And even though I was in first-hand witness of what they were saying, it communicated to me that the power of God inside of hearts, when they lost their homes and their livelihood and their families, and they didn't have money in the bank, they erupted in genuine praise unto God. And the Lord heard and honored their praise. Let us not be the modern 21st century Western church that praises because it's a segment in church. But let us be a people of praise. Let us praise continually. Because in doing so, we afford this city an experience that they can't find anywhere else. I believe our praise becomes a dinner bell that brings others to come and experience the goodness of God. And I'm here to encourage you, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian or how young a Christian you are, or how old a Christian you are, I believe that the Christian has a unique ability to summon heaven at will when he praises, when he or she praises. The last thing that I want to commit to you is this. And a challenging thing that has challenged me from this passage. Not every open door is an opportunity. Because you see in verse 27 and 28, when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and he was about to commit harakiri on himself. For those of you who don't know, that's the Japanese tradition of honor. If you have failed in your mission, you commit suicide by taking your own life. And yet in that moment, Paul cries out and says, calm your farm, brother. We're all here. We haven't left. Did God bust open the prison doors for them? Yes, he did. But Paul and Silas were sensitive enough to linger in the presence of God and recognize, not yet. How many testimonies have been prematurely aborted because we have not waited for the not yet? Because if you read that story, it wasn't the prison doors being opened and all their chains coming undone that was the great miracle. The greatest miracle is salvation. And the greatest outcome of that testimony and that story is that the man and the very people who had enslaved them and beaten them and done them wrong came to faith, came to Jesus, and there was great joy. Because here's the deal. Had Paul and Silas, their chains come undone, they got up and left and said, thank you very much, we're out of here. By next morning, the warden and his family would have been toast. Is there evidence for that? Yes, there is. Acts chapter 12. Peter gets bust out of prison by the angel. By next morning, every single man who had manned that prison was dead because King Herod put them to death. And this is where the passage comes from, or the statement comes from. Guard this with your life. It was life for life. If on your watch, you let someone escape, it was your life. But in choosing to be governed by the Holy Spirit and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, Paul and Silas did not view their freedom as means of escape, but sensed in the Spirit an opportunity to witness to the jailer and his family. I sometimes imagine what I'd have done. I probably would have been on the next flight to Dubai. By sunrise, I'd have been in another continent. But here's a man, here's two people that we see in the Bible. They've been done harshly. Their clothes have been ripped off. They've been beaten with iron rods to an inch of death. And they've been, you know, unfairly imprisoned. And yet when God brought them this open door, they knew that this was not their door to walk out from. We ought to be careful as a church, as a group of people, as believers, as sons and daughters,
That we don't rampantly misuse the name of God by saying, God said, so I'm leaving. God said, I'm coming. God said, you know what that makes it look like? It makes you look like you're a door-to-door salesman. You'll knock on every door, any door that's open, I'll go through. And it makes God look like a risky gambler. Let us be in step with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25. If we are of the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Every single time I bust through a door when I was not yet ready to walk through and not asked to walk through, I have created more chaos and calamity. I want to encourage my brothers and sisters here in this place. Let us be in step with the Holy Spirit. Not every door is an invitation for us to enter in or exit out of. And this is where a great dependency on God comes. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Lamps do not illuminate the next 2 kilometers. You'll be lucky if you get the next 2 meters. There is a great dependency on this word. There's a greater intimacy and dependency on the Spirit of God when you hold it close to your heart and say, I will not move until you ask me to move. I want to encourage you. I want to honor you for doing that as a church. By remaining in prison, Paul and Silas allowed God to clear their names and be released with an apology from the authorities. What that did is it enabled them to continue onwards in their ministry and effectively advance the kingdom of God without any further harassment. What I'm asking myself is, am I willing to endure the constriction and pain of prison-like moments so that the testimony of what God wants to do in and through this moment is fulfilled? Or will I take a cheap shortcut and prevent the work of God that He had started in me from being fulfilled in that moment? It's a very sobering thought. And it is a reality check, because this year, many a times I've felt like running. I was Jonah on steroids this year. Many a times I've felt like running. Running is the easiest thing to do. Oh yes, I could do this, but I just don't want to stick around here. But the Lord said, okay, it's not the circumstance, it's where your heart is. Let's talk about that. Here's what I've understood. The work of the Holy Spirit inside of you and in you is not centered around your interest. It always has the kingdom of God in mind. Joseph in Egypt thought it was all about him initially. At the start, you see how the start of his life, it was all about him. Everything bows down to me. I'm the cool cat. I'm the VIP here. Ha ha, your sheep bowing down to me. Sun, moon, and stars bowing down to me. But you see how his life ended. When he could have taken his freedom out of prison, he could have gone, but he endured prison. He endured that Egypt. And even to the last minute, he hung in there till he died. He didn't see the promised land, but yet he had faith to declare, even in his dying moments, carry my bones out of here. And that's when the work of God is fulfilled and finished. I'm encouraging us tonight that we become people who are not afraid of prison-like moments, but we endure it in prayer and praise. And when we endure it and we stick with the Holy Spirit and we endure it, we turn any prison into a palace of praise. I believe there is an invitation tonight for those of you here, gathered here, sitting here tonight. If you feel like you're in a prison-like environment, be it in your workplace, be it in your mental health, be it in your physical health, be it finances, be it emotions, trauma, whatever it is, church doesn't have an answer. Jesus has an answer. The prison breaking Savior has an answer, and He is here in our midst. And as the worship team joins me right now, I want us to actually practice what we just heard. That we're going to actually pray right now and commit ourselves into remaining in this place. We're going to worship with all our heart and say, Lord, would you get me out of this environment? Would you change my environment? Would you bring breakthrough and freedom right now? Is that okay? So if you could be standing to your feet, and if that is you and you're saying, Lord, I need change. I don't want to wait for Christmas or New Year. I want it tonight. I want a breakthrough tonight. Just why don't you come out to the front? We're going to pray together. We're going to worship together. We're going to celebrate the goodness of God together. We're going to praise our way out of prison. We're going to dance our way out of prison. So we're going to go into this moment of praying and praising the Lord. Turn your eyes away from everything and everyone else. Just fix on Him. Turn your eyes to Jesus and fixate on Him and say, Lord, I know You can change my environment, change my circumstance. You can get me out of this place where I feel constricted. And I'm coming to You with my prayer, with my supplication. And I'm coming to You with my praise. And I'm coming to You with a heart that says, I will not move and I will not be shaken. I will stay and remain till You ask me to move. And so let us take that posture right now. And if that is you, I'd love to invite you forward. And together as a church, we're going to gather around. We're going to pray and praise. Is that okay? So let's pray.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.